Welcome to LOA Today. I'm Walt Thiessen here with Alex King and life coach Joel Elston. Today is Thursday, May the 16th, 2019. It is 8 a.m. in New York. It's 5 a.m. in Los Angeles. It's 1 p.m. in London, and it's 10 p.m. in Sydney, Australia. But wherever you are in the world, thank you for joining us for another episode of LOA Today, your daily dose of happy. And we are experiencing new and interesting ways to have technology get in the way and say, okay, here's something for you not to like, and for me to say, you know what, I'm just not going to worry about it. And as soon as I didn't worry about it, it started to work, which is, of course, what it's supposed to do, right?
Right.
So, yeah, we're off to a good start. That's what the way I look at it. There have been times in the past, Alex, where I would have been flipping out because technology wasn't working right.
Yes. You know?
And not this time. It's like, sorry. And I have to give all credit to Joel for that, right? That's the way this is working, right? We were talking about, we won't say who it is, but we were talking about somebody earlier giving credit to everybody else for what it is that they're doing, you know? So I'm going to give Joel credit for the fact that I'm not actually rising to the occasion where, you know, the technology is. So thank you, Joel. I appreciate that.
Well, you know, I do my part. I do my part.
I wanted to mention a couple things. I'm going to start off with an announcement, which I normally don't do. We, Alex and I have been working on this audio play, this sort of a fictional podcast series that we're putting together. We've got the first episode written, and we are about to start reaching out to various places online where actors congregate and offer them the opportunity to become part of our cast. And so I thought I'd toss it out to our listeners as well. If you're interested in perhaps auditioning, seeing if you can get onto this podcast we're putting together, just send us a little 20-second video, selfie video of yourself talking about whatever you want to talk about. I mean, basically, you want to kind of show whatever acting chops you have. And if you have no experience as an actor, then there's not much to show in terms of acting chops. But just, you know, just talk to us for 20 seconds on a video about why you want to be on the podcast, why you want to be on the show. And send it to me at my email address, which is walt@loatoday.net. And we will include you in the list of people to be looked at. So just wanted to toss that out there. It's exciting, Alex. I mean, look at the progress we did.
It is. And I wanted to mention, I think I may have found a Ron.
You may have found a Ron.
I may have found a Ron.
By the way, for those who are wondering who Ron is a character in this audio play.
Yes. Yes, I met someone this weekend and just the way his voice is, and he's a total comedian, and just like, he would make a great actor. So I was like, you know what? And I told him about the audio play, and he's like, oh my God, put me on. I was like, I was like, I'm going to see which character you fit, but you got to go through the process though. I can't have favoritism. So
you got to love the enthusiasm. Just got to love the enthusiasm. And Joel, I got to ask you, I mean, I ask you this every week, so this is like carrying on the tradition, but you always have a great week, and I want to make sure this is still the case. Last week, the past 7 days have been a wonderful week for you. Am I correct about that?
No, it's been terrible.
Oh, no!
Well, not really, but I don't like being predictable, so I just try to throw that out there.
Busting my chops. Okay, I got it.
I don't like that predictability in life, but things are, all kidding aside, been an exceptional week, a lot of great stuff happening, and I love the way sort of life sort of unfolds and being able to live in the day and not have to when you get it, a lot of people say, oh, I'm in a rhythm, and it's not like a boring rhythm. It's just that life every day, I know it's going to be exciting. I know it's going to have great stuff happen. I never know what it is. And no matter what comes along, I'm able to handle it. This is good stuff. So, the fact that I've sort of gotten to this point in life is just really exciting. And, I love the week. I love every day. Mondays, used to be, I scared to death of Mondays, or now Mondays are my absolute favorite day. I can't wait for them every week.
That's great. That's wonderful. That's what they call being in the zone, right? That's what the athletes call being in the zone.
Yep.
Where you just, everything's going your way. Everything's working out.
Yeah. And it feels good. It's a way. And then as with everything else, when everything's working out, then everything works out. It's just that it becomes almost like a self-cleaning oven in a sense. It just takes care of itself.
Actually, we're trying to avoid talking about self-cleaning ovens because Louise turned ours on yesterday and started stinking up the house. She says, okay, to heck with that. I want to go buy the stuff in the store.
Yeah.
But yeah, I understand your analogy. Your analogy is a good analogy. It's just we try to avoid that part.
I get it. I really do.
So I don't really have a topic in mind for us today, other than just kind of general LOA talk. A few people are streaming into the live stream section. So if anyone has a question or comment, something they want us to talk about, you know, feel free to put something into the live stream comment section and we'll be glad to take it up. But in the meantime, I'm just going to kind of wing it with a couple of questions. Unless Alex, you've got something for us to talk about or Joel. But I just kind of want to talk in general about the happy side. Because we usually spend all our time focusing on problems. Mm-hmm. So that's part of what we do here at LOA Today. Okay, let's see if we can attack this problem. How can we deal with this? You know, Joel, do you run into this with your clients and all that kind of thing? I just want to talk about feeling good. I think we need to spend a little more time on that because we haven't done as much of that. So, I mean, Joel, you kind of spun it off there by just saying it's just one good day after another. And that's the goal.
Yeah.
That's the goal. Because when you get there, that's where everything happens, right?
And I think that it's sort of the topic, the general topic that we at some point we hit every week is, you know, most people are attracted to or discover the law of attraction when there's something going on in their life that they need help with or they're perceived as broke. And by discovering this or they, it's a self, you know, under the big term of self-help and people sort of come to this for many different reasons. And you're obviously there's a lack of satisfaction most of the times or there's a need to fill. And so when you understand that the moment that you decide everything is okay, it's okay. Mm-hmm. And that's the piece that, you know, when somebody said, well, I need a relationship to be happy or I need money to be happy or I need this job or I need this scenario. And that's where it gets missed because if you get happy first, happy is it has no prerequisite. Happy is its own thing. Learning to be happy. Now that's so much easier said than done. And I'm not trying to minimize how you have to change your mindset, but you start, if you could start at happy, if you can get to the point of here's where I'm at, life's good at this moment, you know, at 8:09 a.m. Eastern time on the 16th of, May, everything at this exact moment is absolutely fine. No matter what's happening, we're all fine at this moment. Mm-hmm. And so if you can live within that and be happy with that, then that's what the law of attraction picks up on and delivers. But this desire, this drive where I need to have this fulfilled and that will make me happy almost always has the opposite result. Because when your perception is something is going to make you happy, And then it comes along and then I can be happy. If something doesn't match within that, then all of a sudden you've put your happiness at risk because you attached it to something it had no business being attached to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the key. It had no business being attached to it right there. That's it. And yet that's what we do so many times. I mean, that's what many of us who are deliberate creators are trying to learn not to do. But I saw somebody posting on Facebook. I was telling Alex about this earlier, that this guy posted about a question about contrast, which is the word that Abraham Hicks uses to describe the fact that we live in a world where there are a lot of things going on that we like and a lot of things, perhaps a lot more things going on that we don't like. Mm-hmm. And, you know, how do you deal with all that? And his question first was, you know, how do you define it? And so I defined it kind of along those lines. And then he followed up with some questions about, well, how do you deny contrast? And my initial reaction was, I don't want to deny contrast. That'd probably be the worst thing I could do because I'll just get more of the stuff I don't want. Why would I want to do that?
Yeah.
You have to embrace the contrast. You have to say, yeah, this is great stuff that we're able to be here in a place where, yeah, I don't have to like everything that goes on here. I don't have to select all the stuff that I don't like and say, yes, I'm going to bring that into my life. Mm-hmm. You know, I to the contrary, I can choose, you know, thank you, I don't want that, but yes, I like this over here, so I'll focus on that. That's what the whole point of the contrast is.
Right.
You know? I mean, Alex, can you imagine going through life saying, I want contrast all the time to be denied so that I can get all the bad stuff?
Yeah, no, it's all about what you prefer and what you don't prefer. So you just got to concentrate on what you prefer. But don't deny what you don't prefer, because it's going to happen just because you're thinking about it. That's the way it works.
But, this is an annoying thing.
Take it in stride, you know? Just take it, everything with a grain of salt, and it'll be fine.
And it is. It always is. So, Joel, now that I've laid out the foundation of talking about something happy, I immediately have to jump to something unhappy, because, you know, that's what we are. We're all addicted to the unhappy stuff. I'm going to go unhappy for a minute and say, what do you do when you're dealing with unhappy, Joel?
Wow. Yeah, that's again a loaded question, but I appreciate it. Again, when you're living in something and there's a contrast to get unhappy is here's an example that is pretty dark in the beginning, but I'll pull out of it. So stay with me.
Okay.
You know, I've had a lot of stuff happen in my life, and one of the things that probably the most extreme thing that happened to me is I lost my son in a car accident when he was 23.
Yeah.
And, very deep, very, very intense. And obviously I'm in a dark, dark space. Well, I wasn't on social media for a few days. And when I started coming out of that and when I started moving forward, I was very unhappy, and I should be. I don't fight that when you're there. I mean, I just lost my son.
Mm-hmm.
But the interesting thing is I would see other people on Facebook, and in my mind, you know, I'm like, okay, I'm in the darkest moments of my life, and other people's life is going on. They're happy. They have exciting things happening. They had stuff going on. There was school starting new for people. It was the start of college football season. So there's a lot of exciting posts. Now, these are good friends of mine. Now, they were sad for me, but their life was able to continue to be happy.
Mm-hmm.
And as I've often shared with people, my grieving process was, in the beginning, was very, very intense. However, I have made it a choice to focus on the incredible joy my son brought to my life instead of the huge void created by his loss.
Right.
So, I even in the midst of my despair, I always knew happiness was a perspective and a choice.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm okay. I didn't have to pull out of it. I had no mandatory time limit on my unhappiness. It isn't a scary place anymore. I knew I wasn't going to be stuck in it, but I also allowed myself that opportunity. So sometimes unhappiness is okay. Instead of thinking it's a dread, I've overcome debilitating depression and anxiety, and I actually could live in that very unhappy moment, but also understand that this isn't forever. This isn't defeating. I don't have to live here forever, but I'm okay here for right now. So when you're unhappy, first of all, there can be very legitimate reasons for being unhappy. It would be unhealthy to say, "Hey, my son died. Hey, guys, you want to go?" He died 4 hours ago. Let's go have a party. That would be very unhealthy. But at the same time, living within the unhappiness, but not getting stuck in the unhappiness.
Right.
I knew my vibration was unhappy. I knew that it was appropriate to be there. And I didn't get stuck. I could just sit with it and observe the unhappiness. And that sounds very weird to some people, but it wasn't that. But also I knew that happiness, when it was time for me to pull out of that, the happiness was at my disposal. It was there. I was able to go there when I was prepared to go there. But some people think you're always supposed to be happy. It doesn't work that way. We were talking about the contrast earlier. I knew this was a moment of contrast in my life, and it was the ultimate contrast. Mm-hmm. But I also was, I didn't want to become comfortable and invite that forever. But I also knew that I was strong enough through all that I've been through that I was going to be able to handle it. And this was something that I live with great joy in my life. TJ brought incredible and still brings incredible joy to my life. But the loss was extreme, and so it's okay. So unhappiness, it's like everything else. The human body and the mind and emotions have a point. There's a reason. It's protective. The problem is we can become stuck in any of the cycles. And if you think I'm supposed to be happy all the time, then you're quote unquote doing it wrong. And that's not realistic. We all have ups and downs. We all have this moment. Learning to not stay in them is the point. So happiness is a choice, but also understanding unhappiness is protective at times. It's normal. It's part of the condition of being human. It's one of the reasons, this is a personal belief, I'll step away from the general law of attraction. I believe we choose to be here, and I believe we choose the path that while we're here. So if that's the case, then you need to experience the good, the bad, and the ugly, and then be able to overcome them and learn not to become them.
I like that.
Yes, very good. I like the way you phrased that. That really said it nicely. By the way, speaking of dealing with stuff as it comes along, I've been trying to, in the last few days, change my pattern with the announcements because for like the last few weeks, I've been putting my announcements last at the end of the show and sometimes forgetting about doing them at all. So I said, okay, I'm going to move them forward in the show. That way I'll never miss them. So I'm going to get the announcements done now. And they're really, really simple. They're about being subscribers to the podcast. So you can tell how this podcast is going. And even when we're doing free form conversation, we get into some pretty good stuff. Every single episode is different and you don't want to miss any of them. So that's why you want to become a subscriber. And it's easy to do. You just go to the homepage of our website, loatoday.net. It will detect what kind of device you have and tell you this is what you have to do in order to subscribe. If you're on a smartphone, it's just going to say click here and it'll walk you right through the process, regardless of whether you're using an Android or an iPhone. And if you're using a PC or desktop, it'll give you different instructions, but just follow the steps. And then once you're a subscriber, of course, share the fact that you're subscribing and share the fact that you're listening to this episode and enjoying the content so that other people can get the same kind of joy out of it that we do, because that's how we spread your daily dose of happy. And if you're listening to the live stream, or perhaps you're finding the recording here after we recorded the live stream, we encourage you to subscribe there too. And Alex, tell people what to do after they subscribe so they can be notified.
After you subscribe on YouTube, you can turn to your right and click the little bell next to the subscribe button, and that'll notify you every time we are live.
And there it is. Very simple. So please subscribe, please share, and thank you for being a listener. And now we'll get back to our regularly scheduled happiness.
I like it.
So that's the whole point. This is your daily dose of happy. See, you gotta go back to the regularly scheduled happiness, which is what you're touching on. That's exactly what your story was. I mean, it's a very poignant story because losing a son is really, that's like the ultimate in pain.
Yeah.
And you very eloquently described how you have to come to face to face with the idea of, you know, my life goes on and I love my son and I continue to love him forever and ever. And I am going to focus on that love and just not get wrapped up in all that pain anymore.
Mm-hmm. Well, and you know, it's in a lot of ways, this analogy of realize, again, happiness is at your disposal, as is sadness, as is any emotion. And the idea that, you know, I was discussing the other day, I'm very much into meditation. And everybody, when you start talking to them, after they roll their eyes about meditation,
right.
Crazy. Which I get it, because I was the eye roller before.
Oh, me too.
I am.
Yeah. And so, yeah, still roll those eyes. You know, I eventually try to work all my clients into some form of meditation. I have a brief meditation. Sometimes, when I mean brief, sometimes it's 30 seconds, even just something. And then you build from that. And everybody inevitably says, well, I can't meditate. And then they fill in the blank of why. And the truth is, you can't meditate wrong. It's impossible. It's impossible to meditate wrong. That's the piece that everybody gets wrong, is they think they're doing it wrong. The concept of meditation is you sit there and the goal of a basic mindfulness meditation, you focus either on your breathing or your immediate environment and try to stay in now. Inevitably, guaranteed, your mind will wander to the electric bill being due, to this yes. going on, to why you need to get up, check it. And then all you do is you say, oh, there we go, bring it back. And you might have to bring it back 197 times in a minute. Yes. That's fine. That's fine, because the process is that. That yes. is the process. It's about, so, and the reason I mentioned meditation is happiness is at our disposal, and sort of identifying the body, the mind and emotions, again, are protective. They're there for a reason. So mm-hmm. if you can determine what is the fear attached to my unhappiness? What is the situation? And a lot of times when we're looking for a job or money or a person to fulfill us, then you are mistaken when you're like, okay, I'm going to attract money and it's going to make me happy. And it's like, no, no, no. You may attract money, but it has no chance of making you happy if you believe money was the conduit to happiness.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You're going to be happy and attract money. That applies in relationships. I know multiple people that like, okay, I'm really going to attract a relationship and that's going to make me happy. And then they're devastated when it falls apart and said, but it made me happy. No, you weren't happy first. I start with everyone. What do you want to do? Let's work on you being happy, understanding how to implement it, and then work on attracting. And then it has a chance of working out in a really good way. Mm-hmm. So it's one of the reasons people win the lottery and they think everything's fine. And like 98% of the people that win the lottery, no matter how big, they blow the money or their life is in shambles. Mm-hmm. 3 years later, there's a whole television show just dedicated to, I blew yep. the lottery thing. and it's because of that mindset and, mm-hmm. and people that have mastered happy before this or understand you're in control of that. That's when it comes along. So the default thinking has always been where we're always told, well, that will make you happy. Mm-hmm. Well, that doesn't have the power. My son's death did not make me unhappy. It was my emotional reaction to my son's death. And again, an appropriate emotional reaction. I'm not trying to minimize that connection. However, everything is my reaction. Now, some reactions are very, when you have a devastating loss or you lose a job, it's very normal to go through that instead of saying, oh my God, I can't believe I'm so upset. I'm inviting. No, no. Live within it. Understand it. Understand. But once you understand the point of the emotion or the anxiety or whatever it feels like, then you have a better way of dealing with it versus the idea, I want to attract something in a way that you've never done it before. And I know it seems so convoluted when you say it that way, but that's where the people that most people report problems in attraction, the law of attraction, all that part, is they're under the assumption that they've already figured out what will make them happy and they're going to attract that. And then they're disappointed when happiness isn't immediate.
Mm-hmm.
Very true. Yeah. I think we've all experienced that. Now, it does raise the question, of course. Well, that actually raises a couple questions. First question is, well, why is happiness so difficult? I mean, it seems just it should be easy. Why is this happiness thing so difficult? And that seems to be what the picture is that you're painting there. I mean, I know you're not, but that's kind of what the message seems to point to. Like, oh my God, I have to work so hard to be happy.
Yeah, well, if your perception is you have to work so hard to be happy, it absolutely is incredibly hard.
Yeah, no kidding.
If you're able, and that's what I'm talking about, that exact moment, if you're able to look at yourself and live in the moment, the power of now, or whatever you want to call that, at that exact moment in your life, right now, everything is fine. I'm happy. I've chosen that. Even if there's circumstances that are pressure, if I choose that, I can truly feel that. What is that happy? What is that joy? Then you can condition your brain, and then you can understand the contrast and what it's about. Yes, I am okay. And yeah, I know people that have been in some horrible situations in life mm-hmm. and figure out a way to be happy. The one of my multiple shocking emotions that I did not realize I would have is back in many years ago, back in my addiction, things weren't going really well. and when sort of an understatement. And when things were falling apart, I was taken into custody and put in jail for my behavior during my addiction. And so you know, I spent my whole life fearing going to jail, even though my behavior wouldn't indicate that because I clearly looked like I wanted to. But, again, the contrast. Once I was in jail, I had feared this for years and almost knew it was inevitable. You couldn't behave the way I was behaving in an addictive stupor and expect not to go to jail. Mm. So once I ended up in jail, the initial reaction was I was literally shocked by that because this is what I feared. I dreaded it. It was my worst case scenario. There was no point in living. Nothing happened. And then they shut this massive door and I was in this little cell by myself.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh, thank God, that's over. it was like a weight of the world was lifted. What I feared is here. It's not as bad as I was. And I walked around I was in jail for 30 days. I'm like, and they looked at me like I was absolutely crazy. I'm like, yeah, this is sort of not bad. I'm done.
Not to downplay prison, or say,
but what I had feared was far worse than what the reality was.
Right.
Now, jail, by the way, it is a very low star rating on my scale. Please, I'm not recommending it. But I will tell you this. If you need to lose weight, there is no more effective place to go than jail. I have thought about implementing the jail diet and it is the worst food, and I use that food term loosely. It is the worst stuff that they call food that you'll ever eat, and I lost like 20 pounds in like 30 days.
Yeah.
So outside of that, but the truth is I have great humor with it because it all turned out to be, it's what I feared. It was my focus of fear, and all of a sudden I was there, mm-hmm. and I'm thinking, you know, wow. And so it was a turning point in my life. There's probably no more powerful. That's one of the biggest turning points that I was like, wait a minute. I have all this wrong. I've been wrong about this. So when I get out of jail and all of a sudden I'm a convicted felon, nowhere to go. And I'm looking around life like, I got this. And everybody, no, it doesn't look like you got it at all. You're a train wreck. But no, my understanding of everything changed and I was able to build from that. And it was from that moment that's when, shortly after that, my beginning, understanding of the law of attraction and really how to apply it and how I basically used it. And so I found happiness in the most unhappy way. I found, and so all that prepared me later when I would experience different levels of unhappiness or what. So I just understood that no matter what's going on, if I'm perceiving it as bad, as Walt said, why is it so hard to find happiness? It's because we're conditioned once again to believe it is a location versus a mindset. Mm. Happiness is not an event or a location. It is a mindset. You know, the idea that I will be happy when I see people on TV, I don't watch much TV at all, but there is a, you know, they always will show, you know, the famous people living on, you know, they're really just having a life of leisure. Well, they clearly must be happy because they can go do whatever they want to do. Well, obviously they are not. In fact, just, you know, you see many examples of, you know, Justin Bieber doesn't appear to be very happy, most days. And he's got everything he has sought after and would appear to have all that. I know, our president, regardless politically, doesn't seem like a really happy man. So you see a lot of things going on that mm-hmm. people that are worth perceiving, but also you see people that really are happy that don't have anything. So the idea that happiness has a lot of attachments to it is what we're taught. Well, when you grow up, you're gonna go get a job. You might go to college. You might go get a job. You're gonna spend 35 years working at a job you may or may not like, and then you're gonna be able to retire. And somehow that's a version of happiness that many people assign. And then when you're living through it, it goes, this doesn't match what was being sold. It's not about that. And or if I I drive a nice car, and I do drive a nice car. I have a really nice car, but it's not, it doesn't make me happy. I was happy before I bought a Porsche. The Porsche doesn't make me happy. It's a really nice car. I'm a car enthusiast. I drive. And I'm also the guy that I buy my couch at Goodwill. So,
that's how you have enough money for a Porsche.
That's how I got enough money for a Porsche. So that's my choice. But again, I have no attachment to the Porsche. I'll get rid of it. It's something I like, but it has no correlation between my happiness. I was happy before I thought about buying that vehicle. It had nothing to do with it. But we've reversed that, and society sells you when this happens, then you are happy versus I'm happy, and then I have many more great things that can happen.
Mm-hmm. And by the way, Alex is a great example of what you're talking about, because she, despite the fact that she has anxiety issues and depression, I don't even know all the, not depression, but I don't know all the stuff that you deal with. I know you have a lot. You have the sleeplessness. You have a whole bunch of stuff you deal with, but you're one of the happiest people I've ever met. Show after show, you're laughing, you're smiling, you're feeling good. You know, you got all this stuff going on, but it's like, oh, well, you know, so what? That's okay. No big deal.
Yeah. You just gotta, it's exactly what Joel says, is it's all about perception. So as long as I'm comfortable in my situation and I know how to deal with it, then I'm fine.
Which is fabulous.
That is, if you ever have woken from a bad dream, and there's a few moments there that you don't know if that really just happened there's that moment that, you know, I've had some really bad dreams where it's been a long time, but I'll wake up and I'll go, oh, thank God that was just a dream. And then you were in an unhappy or fearful based emotion there for a little while, but you instantly went to happy when you realized it wasn't there. All of that was in your control. Nothing changed but your perception or perspective. Nothing. Mm-hmm. So when you realize that same power exists, when you can break the day down, like the other day, I had a client that had to make this uncomfortable phone call to, about some financial stuff. And it is some pretty big stuff for her, but she set the phone call for 4 o'clock, and not that it needed to be 4 o'clock. It's just, she put it toward the end of the day, and then she was spending all day worrying about it. And so I talked to her about noon. She was in my office, and I'm like, let's just call right now.
Get it over with.
No. Yeah. And I said, just do it. I mean, you're going to run 4 more hours. I said, the outcome is going to be irrelevant. It's getting it done. So anyway, turns out we made the call. The outcome was far greater than she realized it would be. And she's like, oh, I just wasted the entire day to this point of that. And that's what we do. I want to dread this. So it's going to be terrible. You know, I've done that multiple times in my life, you know, where I'm dreading something, and then I make it that it's like calling Comcast, you know. I'm like, oh God, I'm going to call Comcast.
And they're gonna, what? You know, you're crazy. They have the best customer service. Every time I talk to Comcast, it's the best experience ever.
It is now, because changed my perspective of them. Yeah. Because when I used to call with dread, it was always a bad event. And, in fact, I have a great example of a call to them. I had called and I was trying to explain, and I knew I was just trying to explain what was going on. The person was, I don't know what country I was talking to, but it hurt. I promise you his name was not Bob, as he said.
Right?
It was, So, you know, we were going back, and I got, and I found myself getting very frustrated, and he was getting frustrated with me. And I never yell, I'm not rude. I go, sir, I said, I don't think you're listening. He says, well, you're just stupid. He called me stupid. And I'm like, okay. And then he hung up, and I'm like,
wow.
So,
oh,
now,
no.
I waited a minute and I called back, and I was calm. And so I'm sure he could do that. And the odds of me ever hooking up with him on the phone would be not likely. So I called back and a little while later and I said, look, I gotta approach this differently. Cause I was furious and I was ready to change everything. And so I called back and the lady that answered, very nice lady. I said, I just had a really difficult phone call. And I said, and that has nothing to do with you. I said, so I really appreciate you taking my call. I really appreciate it. And I started with gratitude. And I explained my problem. It took her less than 45 minutes to exceed my expectations and gave me a $25 credit for my frustrating call before.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
So I got off the phone even more satisfied, but I realized that I was anticipating that first call to go really bad and it really went bad.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to back away. So that happens in life all the time. When you're anticipating it or you have that expectation of it, or I'm unhappy or, you know, if this person would respond to my text, I would be happy, or this person would behave the way I wanted to behave, or if I could just have someone in my life that would be fulfilling to me and realize that person doesn't exist. You can become self-fulfilled and they can add to it, but they are not going to be the one to make you happy. And that's the biggest lesson, whether it's money or people. You start with it and it's at your control. It's there. You could become a powerhouse of happiness, just like you do, Alex. You talk about, you've explained some of the stuff you go through, but yet at the same time, you have chosen a path of happiness, which is override the rest of the stuff.
Yeah.
I'm sure that's also the reason why you are able to survive the insomnia you have, because you have the most severe case of insomnia I've ever heard of. I'm not kidding. I have never heard of anybody who has a case that severe. Joel, I don't know if you realize, she gets like 1 hour of sleep a night. I mean, wow. It's just
sometimes.
Unbelievable.
Wow.
I didn't think that was, I mean, I know it's not all the time, but still, I mean, I didn't know that was possible.
Yeah, me neither.
I thought you'd end up in a loony bin if you did that, you know?
That's what I heard. But then I read that there is a group called the Sleepless Elite, and I think it's 1% to 3% of the population gets less than 3 hours of sleep a night, and they are able to function. So, I'm part of that group.
Wow.
Well, it's funny, you know, that I didn't know you were having that, but I know when I have when I was having, trying the best, way to explain this, I know there are times I usually sleep pretty well.
Mm-hmm.
But I also have a really busy life. So there are times like I would go through periods and I would say, okay, I sleep, maybe 4 or 5 hours a night and then I'd get tossed and turned.
Well, mm-hmm.
I then would, you know, I'm like, okay, then I would focus all day. I'm so tired because I didn't sleep well last night.
Mm-hmm.
And then that became the point. And then it was all backwards. So what I had to do is totally reverse that concept. You know
what
I'm saying? I had to totally reverse it. And what I did was, look, my body will do what it needs to do.
Mm-hmm.
And I got to respond. So I would get up. I've been to the gym at 4 a.m. before, 3 a.m. to go work out. And I've been,
mm-hmm.
and then if I need a nap or a meditation in the afternoon for a few minutes, that's fine too. But I changed my perspective instead of focusing on the lack of sleep, just knowing my body well enough to say, okay, I can do this. I assume it will sleep when it has to sleep. And it will do this when it has to do it. And once you take the focus off of it, I know a lot of people that Winston Churchill focused for years during World War II, for years, not sleeping more than 2 hours, straight. He would take little rest or meditations throughout the day, closing his eyes for 10 or 15 minutes. But he focused and was able to do that for years during the war. And other people do that. So it, the one thing you can do is if your focus is that it's not working right, then it's not going to work right. But if it is what it is, you deal with it. And that's it. So that's what you're doing, Alex. You're focusing and you're doing it well. And at some point when you take the energy away from it, you'll have nights you sleep longer, I'm sure, because you've taken it off the table as it being that big of a deal.
Well, I feel like everybody else makes it a big deal. I don't.
Right.
Yeah. The thing is like every morning my nurse comes and it's part of their routine. Like, you know, how much did you sleep last night or, you know, stuff like that. So I'm like, and then I have to dwell on it. I have to think about it. I'm like, okay, I think I got a half hour or there was a period where I went through, I had got a Fitbit that can tell me how long I slept. So I was obsessed. In the next morning, I would look at the app on my phone, and it would tell me, oh, you only got 20 minutes. I'm like, what? That's crazy. And I would be like showing my nurse. But in the beginning, when I first started having insomnia problems, it was a problem. I was like, I can't sleep. I'm very frustrated. I need a nap. I'm very angry, because it's like, that's what society tells you supposed to happen. When you can't sleep, you can't function. You're very upset. You're rude to people. And then I just realized, I'm like, well, I just don't sleep. That's just the way it is. Yeah. And just like I said, grain of salt.
Now, you could have gone down that route and stayed there. You could have stayed in that place.
I was there for a long time. I was there for years.
And what does that do for you, for your happiness level? But more importantly, what does it do for your health? What does it do for all the aspects of your life? Does it positively impact it? Does that make you happier?
No. It snowballed into everything getting worse and worse and worse until I was hospitalized. That was the problem. So I'm not saying insomnia was the main problem, but it was probably the straw that broke the camel's back. So, yeah, it was rough.
Well, but more precisely, it was the way you were feeling about it, the way you looked at it.
Yes. It was the way I was looking at it, and I was vibrating really low.
One of the things that we have in Virginia, the aptitude test for schools, every state has testing, you know, where they say the kids are meeting levels, and you know, ours in Virginia, which I always got a kick out of this, it's called the Standard of Learning, or also SOLs. Now, where I came from,
we all know what that stands for.
Well, yeah, and that's what was funny when I first moved to Virginia.
Yeah.
Of course, I'm the 12 year old grown up in the room where this says, well, your son has to study for his SOLs. I start laughing.
Right.
And everybody looks. They look at me like I'm crazy, and I'm going, really? Nobody gets that? They said like, SOL really? For me. So long. Yeah. They're like, oh yeah, that's sort of cute. And I'm going, no, it's really funny that you have chosen, you know, so it's not, all the kids are talking about, oh yeah, we got our SOLs coming up. I still laugh all these years later. I've been here 10 years. You know, it would be like some analogy of like WTF standing for something. You have to laugh at that. It's just what it means. So anyway, one of the things that I have really, and I've really tried to help them see, is there's so much pressure put on the kids. Like, your SOLs are tomorrow. I need you to go to bed and get extra sleep, and make sure you eat a good breakfast and come in. So they put so much stuff there. Well, I know a couple of teachers that actually just have a different perspective with it. They don't even mention them. They'll review them and stuff, but they're like, they don't get into it and say, you know, they may say that, okay, you got SOL testing on Thursday. Try not to be absent if you can, but you guys just have, you know, you'll do great. Don't worry about it. Mm-hmm. And there's other teachers like, you know, sends home notes and, you know, make sure your child goes to bed on time. Well, so Justin last night, my son, I'm going to demonstrate some really bad parenting here. I thought he was, you know, he had taken a shower and, you know, he says good night or whatever. Well, I thought he was in bed. You know, his SOL testing is today. Mm-hmm. And so I go upstairs. It's like 10:45 and he's still on the video game. I go, what are you doing, buddy? He's like, oh, I didn't know that was so long. He said, no, I got SOL testing tomorrow. I'm going to do terrible. I'm going, buddy, who? I said, number one, I don't care. It doesn't matter if you do terrible or not. And second, you need to go to bed, not because of any stupid SOL testing. You need to go to bed because, you know, you need your sleep, but it has nothing to do with tests. So forget the test problem, and brush your teeth and go to bed. I want to take the focus off of that. Because if he's going in with that attitude, and the kids they're stressed over it, and the teachers are stressed over it, and that energy is stressed, and it's such a ridiculous way of doing school anyway.
It is.
You know, but this is how it works, you know, and so I believe when you don't focus on the thing, you're in a lot better place. And that's, and that's, I know teachers that implement that, that have much higher success rates or whatever you want to term success, but passing of the SOL when they don't approach it from such a place of fear or, it's the same thing with your insomnia when the nurse walks in and says, oh my God, I actually only slept 2 hours last or an hour, 8 minutes or whatever it was.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you're, it's like, well, boy, that was sort of fine until, you know, oh, now I'm really, now your focus is like, well, I'm, you know, that's really bad. Well, no, it is what it is. And you have confidence in that. I had a test many, many, many years. I don't tell the whole story, but it was an anomalous blood test and it took me 2 days to have it redone. And I had a microscopic blood in my urine and it's something that's hereditary. I've had it for years. I didn't know it at the time. And I had kidney pain.
Mm.
Now, I didn't have the kidney pain before they told me that there was microscopic blood in my urine. Kidney pain.
Yep.
And then once they identified it with this test, saying, no, it happens is less than 1% of the people. However, it's nothing. It has zero bearing on anything.
Mm-hmm.
The kidney pain went away. Well, not for change, but and it's that same thing. It's going to a doctor. You know, any doctor that would tell a patient, well, you have terminal cancer. What do you mean terminal cancer? That's not even a thing. You're being sold that. And all that emotional stuff, it very much is the importance of your perspective of things. Happiness is a perspective and it's a choice and it's a button that you can push immediately and have it instantaneously and is not a destination event or another person. That's where most people get stuck.
Meanwhile, I'm imagining these two staffers working in the Department of Education in Richmond, Virginia a few decades ago saying, what are we going to call this new testing? I know. Yeah. Let's call it SOL. Oh, what a great name. Oh my God.
Yeah.
I got a story about my standardized testing. When I was in high school, I was firmly against it because I don't test well. So I was the last class that was allowed to take the test, and it didn't affect our graduation status. So not knowing that at the time, I told my parents, I said, listen, I'm not taking the test. I don't believe in it. It doesn't make any sense to me. They take away everything that you're learning. They stop it. And then they're like, we got to concentrate on what's going to be on this test because we got to get our points up because, you know, that's how the school gets money. And I'm like, this is so much pressure on the kids. So even at 16, I was just like, no, I don't like it. So I said, I'm not taking the test. I'm protesting the test. And my parents were like, if that's your decision, that's your decision. The school said, you don't take the test. You don't come to school. So I was like, great, I have a vacation. So it how you look at it. And my parents were like, you're not in trouble for not taking the test. If it's not going to affect you in any way and you don't believe in it, we don't believe in it either. So it's up to you. And the school was like, no, you're suspended. And I was like, cool, I'm going to go watch TV for a week. It's fine.
Yeah. And then 20 years later, you started a whole podcast about watching TV.
Exactly. Exactly. It all came together.
Yeah. Well, that's how all of this comes together is understanding that the in-depth understanding of where all this, you know, what I'm fascinated with origins, you know, like anxiety, for example.
Mm-hmm.
The human condition wouldn't have anxiety unless it served a purpose. Mm-hmm. Now that doesn't mean that anxiety can't become a problem. You can have to produce too much insulin. That could be a problem, but you have to have insulin. So the human body can take any condition and go wherever it needs to go. But I always like to identify the origins, especially when it comes to like depression and anxiety. What is the intent of it? You know, what is the intent of anxiety in the beginning? It's a protective device. That again, back in the days where the saber-toothed tigers were chasing the cavemen, you needed that. Well, it doesn't serve us today the same way, but yet that's where the origins came from.
So I don't know what you're talking about. I saw a saber-toothed tiger the other day. So my really? Fight or flight kicked in.
No wonder she has anxiety issues. I mean, if you have something like that happening, you're going to have anxiety issues. That's just one follows the other.
Now my psychiatrist is listening and thinks I have hallucinations. And I'm on a whole different medication. It's going to be a whole nother conversation.
and that's the beauty of all this. When you understand that you know, we happiness or sadness, again, is simply a perspective. It's not a guarantee. It's not a factual. It's not a tangible. It is something that is, and it changes throughout the day. And, you know, one of the things that I work really hard at and, you know, I will try to identify if I'm feeling an anxious moment or a down moment or a sad moment. What is that about? What is the pressure of that? I just need to identify, and that's all you got to do. Is if you can do that again. I know you have a lot of stuff going on with your stuff. So I'm not. This is not advice for you, Alex. On this whole different level. But I just know, I'm talking about for me. It's with you know, where is this going? You know, how do I approach anything? And happiness as the general topic, it seems to so many people to be elusive. And the reality, they can't accept it's just simply a choice at that moment. And that's the piece that makes no sense, because it does, you know, entire commercial campaigns on TV or advertising, no matter what venue, is selling you on the concept that, you know, this weekend, having some Budweiser at the beach you can't be happy without happy. We'll play some volleyball, and there might be Spuds McKenzie, a dog will show up, which really cool. There might be some, yeah, and then the Coors Light train may come through and make snow happen, and you know, so they're selling you with these visuals of like, boy, life's going to be great. And it's like really? I mean, I've never drank a beer and no trains, no snow, anything. It's never happened. And but they put these visuals like somehow that with this great music. Mm-hmm. And I just you see that, because this will make you happy. This will. Right. And there is nothing that will make you happy except you. When you realize that's your power, that's where you go with it.
Although there is a benefit in understanding that process you just described, because what you're really describing is a process of association. And when you understand that all you're really doing is associating and deciding, okay, I'm going to feel a certain way once I experience this associative stimulus, well, then you can create your own associative stimuluses. You know, you can say, okay, well, all right, every time that I stand up and go into the kitchen, I'll feel good. And you start doing that after a while, and pretty soon getting up and going to the kitchen feels good. Or you can do the same thing with, you know, I'm going to go out and mow the lawn. Well, mowing the lawn feels good.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, mm-hmm. you know, you can actually use it to your benefit.
Yeah.
Well, and that association is so huge, because I, you know, my favorite place, I always go down to, I love the beach and, you know, I have a place down in Florida, and I can't always get there. And so I made the comment one day to one of my, my colleagues, and I said, well, it thinks a lot like I do. I said, well, you know, I really wish I could get down to Florida more. And he goes, you could go to Florida anytime you want, buddy. Just go there.
Yeah.
And he said, do you understand that whether you're there or not, you can get there? And I understood what he was talking about. Mm-hmm. So I have one of my meditations is I have my Echo will play beach sounds.
Yeah.
And so I can turn on some beach sounds. I have a big picture of my beach and my bench that it's a massive, almost post, I mean, you know, almost covers a whole wall. So I can sit in my room and get real comfortable, or in my living room, very bright, playing beach sounds. I have like several salt lamps in my house, so it does smell a little bit like the beach. And I turn on a fan and I'm at the beach.
There you go.
I can be at the beach downstairs. I can walk down the beach right now. And when I realize that being at the beach is not, I can be there physically, which is awesome. Mm-hmm. Or I can be there mentally, which is equally as awesome when I understand how to do that. Happiness is the same thing.
Mm-hmm. I've been doing the same thing with what I call a vision video of our ideal house, which we don't own yet. But I've been playing that video so much that I really feel like it's my house now. I mean, I watch the video play and it's like, oh yeah, I'm walking down the hallway of my house. It isn't a video of a house anymore. It's now mine just because I've watched it so many times.
Yeah.
I mean, it's pretty powerful.
That happens. You, and that's where a vision board, that's how you attract into your life where that idea, because again, the law of attraction picks up what you're putting out there. That is your house. You already mm-hmm. own it. And it's already there. You're doing it enough. And then one day you'll literally wake up in it.
Exactly.
It's how it works.
Yep.
And, yeah. There's a house, that Justin saw one day, my son. And it's on this little pond. It's really nice. And it's about 3 miles from where we live. And he goes, can we buy that house? And I go, why? We have a fine house. There's nothing wrong with our house. We're in a great neighborhood, all that. And he said, but it's on a pond. I go, well, we can go to the same pond, or we've got another pond over here. And I don't want to move. We could buy that house, but moving 5 minutes away makes zero sense.
Right.
So we're in a perfectly fine house, a perfectly fine neighborhood. We get along great with our neighbors. So we get a lot of positives for being here. Mm-hmm. But it's this idea that somehow living in that house is going to bring anything different. So when you understand that the house isn't happiness, that you're envisioning, Walt, it's just you're already happy living in that house, then that becomes a thing. It's just there's a big difference. But if you were to sit watch that video saying, I will be happy when this happens, then you're giving the revert. You're suggesting you're unhappy now, and that's what the law of attraction picks up on.
Which, mm-hmm. by the way, is a miserable way to watch the video.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
because,
God, yeah.
Because now you're looking at the video like, oh, God, I can never have this. Oh.
Right. That's the wrong way.
Yeah. And you're viewing with resistance. You're viewing with lack. I'm like, oh. And if you desire it that deeply, a lot of people don't like it when I say this because it goes against what a lot of people say. You got to desire it deeply. When you desire it to the point that you view you lack it, then that's your resistance.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's a great point, actually. And I think it's a good one to wrap up the show on because I think it's really, really important. People talk about, I saw somebody in a Neville Goddard group talking about how you can think the same thought over and over and over again and nothing will ever come out of it. What their point was is if there's no feeling attached to it, mm-hmm. nothing's going to come out, which is true. If there's no feeling, nothing's going to come out of it. But as we've been talking about here, if you keep focusing on something over and over again, some feeling is going to come up. The question is, what feeling is it? Mm-hmm. Is it a feeling of joy and happiness? Well, then you're going to attract it. Is it a feeling of misery? Well, then you're going to repel it. Mm-hmm. Is it a feeling of disdain and that's a bunch of nonsense, and you're going to push it off to somebody else? I mean, the feeling is going to drive the direction of the thing. So it's not like the thoughts, repeating the thoughts over and over again don't work. They do work. They just are not necessarily working the way you want them to because you're not bothering to look at the emotion side of it.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's exactly it. And that's the piece that we have to work hard on. And again, working hard is resistance. So that's a good point too. But we have to be aware of.
You got to be mindful of.
But so much of it, when we're looking, when you're desperate or you desire it or it's your only thought, then mm-hmm. that is resistance. That is saying I can't have it. It eludes me.
Yeah.
Versus I have it, and that's why we just keep getting stuck over and over and over.
Absolutely true. Well, we're winding up the hour. I want to thank both of you very much. Joel, before we leave, how does somebody reach out to Joel Elston if they want some upfront in-person coaching assistance?
JoelElston@gmail.com. I have received some inquiries lately, and as I mentioned, I'm exceptionally busy. I will get to everyone, but last week we said that I got like 7 emails and haven't gotten to them all yet. So, but I will, but I love hearing from our audience, and I, I do eventually get to them. Usually it's on the weekend when I have time to respond.
And Alex, anything new about Spoiler Alert? I mean, any television things that people want to know about that they want to tune into the podcast?
Lots of cancellations. Lots of shows got canceled this was their last season. If not, the next season will be their last season. So you want to stay tuned to find out which shows those are.
All right, very good. Well, then with that in mind, I want to thank you. I want to thank our live stream audience and our podcast audience as well. And we will see you all next time here on LOA Today. Goodbye, everybody.